Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. The United Solo Theater Festival is back for its fifth season and currently running at Theater Row. Among the shows this year is the autobiographical tale of a young man growing up Mormon and gay in rural Idaho. His name is Kimball B. Allen, and the testament of his childhood is presented in his show, Be Happy, Be Mormon, coming to New York from Kimball's new hometown of Seattle. He joins me on the mic with his director, Emma Hassett, to talk about the work. Take a listen.
And thanks for the opportunity talk to you. And
happy to do so. Like, gotta spread the love. Think of this as like a good community service.
Really. I feel that.
I want to like spread the gospel of not of Mormonism, but
thanks. they're do well at that already.
Elders are constantly walking around my neighborhood. So that's gonna serve as a nice little pre-intro to this episode. Can y'all introduce yourselves on mics? There's a voice to go with the name.
Okay. I was going to say ladies first, but so my name is Kimball Allen. I'm the playwright and the only performer in this production of Be Happy, Be Mormon.
And I'm Emma Hassett. I'm the director of Be Happy, Be Mormon.
And we are at the Studio Theater at Theater Row. This is part of United Solo 2014. And y'all are from Seattle. And before we even, well, you know what? I'll get into that later. First, the show's called Be Happy, Be Mormon. I, of course, started out with statements about elders around my neighborhood. So I think we can kind of sort of guess maybe where some of the background of this play. But Kimball, what's your elevator pitch for this? Like, how do you tell people, like, yeah, I'm going to be pressing your marketing skills here.
Yeah, no kidding.
How do you describe the show to people when you say, come see this?
That's a good question. Well, the show is like so many different dimensions, as you can tell. You know, there's so much, but it's a true story about my upbringing in rural Idaho, and it goes essentially in chronological order of telling my childhood story and me grappling with my sexual orientation as a gay Mormon man. So there's this world of me trying to be masculine and trying to be Mormon, and I'm not fitting into this mold. So it's definitely going through that journey of being challenged at every turn and corner of my life, and then ultimately the story ends with me coming out. How's that?
That's actually a really great elevator pitch. I mean, we could have got that's only like four floors, if anything.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I'm always curious about with solo performance, like, apart from, of course, that very real need to share story, which, of course, is, I'm sure, what this is grounded in, why do it in this medium, and why write this particular show, and why bring this lovely director along with you? Like, why put together this show the way that you put it together? What was kind of, was there a spark or anything that said?
There was a spark.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the show opens with a letter that my mother wrote me, and the show also opens with me receiving these packages from my parents, and inside I discovered my baby book, and this is a true story. Is I discovered this letter that my mom wrote, you know, 32 years ago, anticipating my birth and my arrival, and it was just so, I mean, authentic and honest and heartfelt and everything that, so that was the spark, is that letter of my mom's joy of bringing this child into the world, and the hope that she had and the confidence. And the only problem was is I didn't fit into that hope and mold. She had all these expectations of me, and as a mother, she knew what she had to do as a Mormon mother, and I failed at every expectation she wrote in this letter. So it was very challenging me to read this letter and be like, whoa, I didn't check off any of those boxes whatsoever. And so that was the spark, is my mom was the inspiration in this letter. And I just ran with it, you know, and telling this true story of my upbringing.
And Emma, did you work on the show through the process of creating it? Did you help to shape this? Or was it more like Kimball wrote this script and said, please, Emma, direct me and make this thing work on stage? How did that work?
Preach, Emma.
No, I was definitely involved in the very beginning. He came to me with a pretty short script. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very much rough. And I saw it and I thought, this is really great, has so much potential, but we need to really, I mean, it ended way before he came out in the original draft.
Uncle Selwyn was even in it?
Yeah, there was a ton of stuff that wasn't in it.
Wow, yeah. Evolved. Nice change.
Yeah.
It's a very important component to the script, I feel.
It was about 22 pages, and I looked at it, and I said, okay, where's the rest? Where's the second half of the
Emma,
show?
It,
so I...
you pulled things out of me.
I mean, the first couple months of rehearsal really were just sitting around the table hearing stories and getting, you know, getting stories from his childhood and saying, ooh, why isn't that in the show?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Ethel Selwyn, who's that?
Yeah.
Like, he was just
and he became this, like, major character.
We'll, we'll do, yeah.
In fact, the script says, playwright written by Kimball Allen, collaborated with Emma Hasser. I mean, you did that much. She gets full credit.
Yeah, we definitely told, he told me stories and I picked out things and then he would go away and write and come back with magic. And I mean, I just got to sort of hear the stories and say, hey, what about this and what about that? And then he'd come back with a beautiful scene, you know, so I was really lucky.
It was
It was a great collaboration.
Yeah, we can't wait for the next one.
You had to work together before?
First
time.
So how'd you find each other?
We're roommates.
Beautiful.
So dining room table time was like always script play time. It was awesome.
As much as we tried to not have
separation
it be about
of church
the show
and state,
all the time, it was pretty much about the show all the time. For
in our kitchen, there's like a giant countdown of "Be Happy, Be More." Like the worlds could not.
Yeah, we had all the boxes, all the sort of the movement in through the show.
Right.
It was all up on our wall.
The storyline,
to kind of get it. Like, okay, then they go here, and then this is the sort of storyboards in our living room. So,
it could have been really bad. But it ended up being like beautiful.
Well,
like,
and because we had never seen each other's work.
Yeah,
really.
We went on blind faith. Yeah. I've never seen her work, and she's never seen mine. So it was, we lucked out.
We just had this connection.
Were we like Craigslist roommates?
I know, almost, but no, not really. No.
No, we lived together.
Yeah, we lived together.
His partner was my roommate for about a year.
Yeah, and then I moved in.
So we had known each other. We had talked theater. We had seen the same shows.
Yeah,
and debriefed. I mean,
we knew we had a good aesthetic
good,
and a chemistry that we liked. And
yeah.
So,
and,
yeah.
You know, there's a respect that has to be a part of this partnership, and we knew we had that just as friends. And
and honesty, as I was able to open, I mean, you know more than I think anyone, my therapist and my partner, like, you know, like, she's now, like, you know everything of Kimball Allen.
As a director, you are a therapist, you are
right.
A partner,
so
you
true.
Are, yeah. It's
I mean, there have been times, true story, where I'd write a script and come to her and be in tears and bawling.
That's true.
Like, it was so cathartic, and I was like, holy shit, Emma, who are you?
So, speaking of script, was this your first script? Is this your first solo script?
Oh, that's
or
a good
what's
question.
The
this is my second piece I've written. I did a first piece, equally controversial, called Secrets of a Gay Mormon Felon. Dark, comedic, again, a story about me, a past that I don't care to relive, really.
Is it after? Is it the next step?
It's kind of the next step. Okay. We kind of went in order. Yeah, that's a story of me in my 20s and going to jail and committing really bad crimes. Yeah, very sad part. And I mean, part of it is this negative effect of, you know, with my relationship with my religion and family, and I didn't deal with it. I was very self-abusive. So that was definitely the first piece. And this is kind of going backwards in order, but this is
do it in order.
I know
one
we
day.
Should. I know one day.
double bill.
Yeah, exactly. So this is my second piece that I've written.
Cool. And I think I mentioned in passing earlier, I can't remember if it was on mic, but y'all are from Seattle.
Truth.
So you're in New York. This is so welcome to town.
Thank you.
I feel
fun
as the Off Broadway podcast.
Yes.
Something of a cultural ambassador, but it's really great that you guys are bringing performance from the West Coast out here. That almost seems insane to me.
Yeah.
I know it's just a solo piece, but touring is so difficult and
starving
travel
artists.
Is so difficult,
right.
And it's for two shows and like. Yeah. How did you guys piece this together? Any sort of like tips or tricks that you'd suggest to people who want to do something like this? Bring a show to the other end of the country?
Yeah, I mean, have a stable job. Have family and friends and loved ones that support you.
Yeah.
And never have a show with a lot of props. Have a minimalist, a one-man show.
Sort of.
You push
the limits on the props.
But it all fits in boxes.
It's very compact, but it's true. We did. And our next show won't have props. We've like, this is it.
I thought of our show as a minimal show until we had to pack it up and move it. You know?
We did.
Like,
always do.
Yes, it's amazing.
It's true. And we even edited stuff out to east because we did previews in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken stuff out that we're like, we're not packing
those.
Yeah,
we don't need that.
We did give TSA a run for their money. They're like, what the hell are you bringing? They like stopped me, took out the brass lamp. I'm just like Mary Poppins. So I think that, any other advice on that you'd give?
No, that's good. That's about it.
Yep.
Well, just love what you do, you know.
True.
Do it for the love.
Yeah, that's true, because we're not doing it for money, we're not doing it for fame, and that's no. how it I think it comes, I feel we come across sincere and authentic and yeah. genuine, because we're not making anything off
no,
this.
We just love it. We love it.
Yeah, we do. We yeah. totally love it.
Then you're talking to the right podcast. I know, right? Yeah. I'm certainly not making any money
right,
on this thing.
Exactly.
So the show is Be Happy, Be Mormon. We are at the Studio Theater at the United Solo Festival in Theater Row. And your next show and the only other show is this Saturday at?
At 7:30, Saturday, September 27th, mm-hmm. Same location.
Great.
And there are tickets still available, so.
Excellent. Yeah. We'll get this up before then.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for the show. And
for real.
Break some legs on Saturday.
Cool. We'll break a lot of legs.
Please don't.
Okay.
Thank you, Kimball and Emma, for joining me after the show. Due to the festival nature of United Solo, there's only one more scheduled chance to see Be Happy, Be Mormon this Saturday, September 27th at 7:30 p.m. at the Studio Theater at Theater Row, 410 West 42nd Street in Manhattan. Head to unitedsolo.org for tickets and more information. Thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, please like it on Facebook, facebook.com/GoCAShow. Follow at GoCAShow on Twitter and rate or comment on the show's iTunes page. Until next time, go see a show.
Just don't hurt yourself.